We were called into action today for an intriguing duty. Winston Smith of Airstrip 1, Oceana, had been turned in by a local spy for keeping a journal. What an idiot. This is Lauren Perkins, thought police of Mrs. Boswell's AP Literature First Hour Patrol. Today, we take a deeper look into 1984 by George Orwell to understand why it became my patrol's duty to vaporize Winston. Reference to pages 27 to 28, beginning on the last paragraph of page 27. Fact: Winston Smith has been keeping a diary of his dirty thoughts about his opposition to Big Brother, and it has to come to an end. As a nimble spy with a good eye turned him in, we went back and reflected on his actions to aid in our decision to destroy him. It went a little like this. Curiously, the chiming of the hour seemed to have put new heart into him. He was a lonely ghost, uttering a truth that nobody would ever hear. But so long as he uttered it in some obscure way, the continuity was not broken. It was not by making yourself heard, but by staying sane that you carried on human heritage. He went back to the table, dipped his pen, and wrote, "To the future or to the past, to a time when thought is free, when men are different from one another and do not lie alone, to a time when truth exists and what is done cannot be undone. From the age of uniformity, from the age of solitude, from the age of Big Brother, from the age of doublethink, greetings." He was already dead, he reflected. It seemed to him that it was only now, when he had begun to be able to formulate his thoughts, that he had taken the decisive step. The consequences of every act are in the act itself. He wrote, "Thought crime does not entail death. Thought crime is death." Now that he had recognized himself as a dead man, it became important to stay alive as long as possible. Two fingers of his right hand were ink-stained. It was exactly the kind of detail that might betray you. Some nosing zealot in the ministry might start wondering why he had been writing during the lunch interval, why he had used an old-fashioned pen. What had he been writing? And then drop a hint in the appropriate quarter. The analysis of Winston's thought pointed to one thing and one thing only: corruption. He was a corrupt individual who stood as a real danger to our government. The way he dreamily writes to the future in a way that infers Big Brother is no longer reigning is appalling. Winston knew all too well that he was doing wrong, yet he continued with the madness anyways. His tone in the passage was one of defiance, and defying individuals do not belong on this planet Big Brother has worked so hard for. The way he utilizes metaphors and exaggerations through his piece exemplifies his awareness of his wrongdoings and almost provides slight foreshadowing for himself. As he refers to himself feeling like a lonely ghost, well, he is one now. Nobody knows he exists, and his work is never to be read, as it was fully and completely destroyed. As he also reflects that he is already dead, lets us thought police know that he is aware of his doom after the actions he has made and the unholy thoughts he has running through his mind quite often. The purpose of this passage revolves around proving why our work as thought police is so important. By analyzing Winston's dangerous thoughts and tendencies, we have no other choice than to vaporize him. This excerpt reveals scared human-like tendencies of those who think they lived in a time before Big Brother. That, however, is impossible, as Big Brother has always been the head of our government. As Winston cautiously does the dirty deed he knows he should not, his tone and inner thoughts reveal to us, the thought police, the danger he holds to other citizens. So who is Winston Smith? The world will never know. I don't even know.